In victory or defeat, true fans never quit. Champions are made by the fans. That's why 5-Hour Energy is adding a new limited edition Stand the Fan 5-Hour Energy Shot to their roster. Fuel your team's spirit with a taste as sweet as an overtime win. Packed with an all-star lineup of B vitamins, nutrients, and 230 milligrams of caffeine, it keeps you feeling energized, loud, and proud all game long. Check out 5hourenergy.com to grab your Stand the Fan Shot today.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's the Patriots Monday. We are at Gillette Stadium where we have been and will be every Monday during this long and torturous NFL season for the Patriots. We'll talk to Boomer Esiason coming up in a half an hour. And before that, at 7:45, so 15 minutes from now, I have Bruins tickets to give away. So stick around, win those, and go see the Boston Bruins, who are undefeated since they fired Jim Montgomery, and undefeated since Jim Montgomery got a great job 5 days later.
They should give Sacco a 5-year deal today.
They should. Yes, they should. Well, that was one of the issues, I guess, was it, and that's why St. Louis may have been intriguing to Jim Montgomery, is he could hire his own staff. He, one of the sticking points between he and Don Sweeney was that he wanted to hire his own guys. I don't know. I'm sure money was, maybe money was a sticking point between Jim Montgomery and the Bruins, or maybe the length of the deal. I don't know.
I would rather be kicked in the nuts, though, than live in St. Louis.
I think a lot of head coaches, and you bring this up, Greg, and I think that's a good point, and I think Mayo's dealt with it a little bit. If they don't have the ability to hire their own guys, guys that they feel like they can trust, we see it with Bill all the time, right? I think it puts a strain on maybe the way they coach, because if I'm the GM's guy, I might not have an issue with saying, no, you're doing this wrong. We got it. And then it becomes this friction of this butt in the heads of way. Whereas if you're my guy, you'll understand how I want to do things. And maybe you'll give me a little bit of kind of like pushback, but you'll be like, all right, I'm able to get it. So that's a very interesting point.
Yeah. Do you think that everything changed for Mayo when Bill didn't get a job and that $30 million was off the books? Like, do you think that he said, honestly, we're going to burn cash? Because I don't think that was an intentional mislead.
I don't either.
No. The question becomes, I don't think they didn't hire, I don't think the coordinators that they hired or advanced, in the case of DeMarcus Covington, who's been in the organization for 8 years, was done to save money. I just think that there wasn't a lot of interest in coming here and you know, being employed by a first-year coach. But
isn't that chicken or the egg, where like a guy like Wade Phillips joined McVay when nobody thought the Rams were great?
So money changes all that, then, if you're willing to pay
some. Then we also can't believe that Robert Kraft went to Atlanta and blackballed him. Like, because if that was going to be a done deal, that Atlanta was going to hire Bill Belichick and Kraft stopped it, if you believe that,
right,
then Kraft shot himself in the foot.
So I think you can partially have both be true. I think Kraft was honest with Arthur Blank about his experience, not thinking that there would be no other, like, I don't think Robert did that thinking that Bill would be out of coaching for a whole year.
Yeah.
I think he did that just because he doesn't like Bill, and he was asked about Bill by a guy he respects, and he told
and
him
he
the
was
truth,
honest with him.
And, not expecting that to get to Don Van Natta and Seth Wickersham.
Yeah.
But there's no way a guy like Nick Caley turns down a job to be an offensive coordinator with Gerard Mayo and have his chance to kind of climb up the coaching ladder.
Well, he did just that.
But I don't know if they offered him a job. Just because you do an interview doesn't mean they're offering you the job.
Right. If you meet with the Red Sox for 3 hours, they don't even talk money.
Right.
Offers are going in this week, Curtis. Juan Soto will have a nice offer on his desk later on today, maybe.
Well, I can't wait till your internet goes out on the Jersey Shore and you don't find out that they didn't get him.
But that's what you push, though, Curtis, in baseball. And we always go back and forth.
Right.
So, and, you know, you're right to a certain extent, but just because they interviewed Nick Caley doesn't mean they offered him the job. Or just because they interviewed all these other potential candidates.
Do you think they offered Alex Van Pelt the job over Nick Caley?
Do you think he was hired for catering and then they just moved him over?
I mean, are you
you know what? Because, yeah, I would say if you're Nick Caley.
Winky, he has limited experience.
Nick Caley has no experience.
Yes, but he is one of those people like Bobby Slowick that everybody talks about as being the guy.
Right, but Bobby Slowick, when he gets his first opportunity, no one knew the hell Bobby Slowick was. He was like a Nick Caley, young up-and-comer. Nobody knows he's helping out quarterbacks or he's helping out with the passing game. So for all these people that are like, oh, this one turned the job down, that one turned the job, why would you turn your first real experience opportunity to be an offensive coordinator down?
Because you felt like this organization, even if Drake May was great, was not going to invest in the places they needed it for the offense to be successful.
But how does Nick Caley know that and Gerard Mayo doesn't?
Right.
Gerard Mayo is getting paid a lot of money. And he is a head coach. I think you take a risk when you get an opportunity because there's only 32 of them. Whereas Nick Caley, if you're selective, like Josh McDaniels went to the Rams and they sucked on offense for 2 years. And that derailed his opportunity to get a second job. A guy like Nick Caley comes here and he probably knows how the business was done here. How many years was on the staff? Three?
A lot. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
four years?
Yeah, 3 or 4 years.
So like I feel like the Patriots just... for whatever reason, their aversion to spending money on the offense, or really anywhere, is what led to many people turning this down. And the only way...
So then you think that Gerard Mayo was lying when he said burn some cash?
No, I think Gerard Mayo thought they were going to spend this offseason and also was given a multi-year guarantee as a head coach, which is probably $7, $8 million a year, versus a guy in Nick Caley who's going to be getting $1 to $2 million, and if he fails as a coordinator... will be even further away from his desire to be head coach.
He might not get an opportunity because he's the tight end coach for the Rams. So Nick Caley's not. He might never get that opportunity to be the offensive.
But who's the coordinator for the Rams right now?
Sean McVay.
Okay, but so they don't have one in name only?
Oh, they probably do have one.
Well, guy will get a job, and then Caley will be in that position,
right,
and then he'll get a job.
But my thing is, the way I think it unfolded was Elliott Wolf said, these are the guys that we're hiring on offense. I worked with Alex Van Pelt. I think he can get the job done. And so some of those other guys that Gerard might have said, hey, let's interview. They said, oh, we'll interview him, but we're not hiring him.
And Wiggy, you can't say that who is the real coordinator. The Patriots hired a defensive coach as their head coach.
Right.
Who wasn't even the coordinator. He wasn't even calling the plays.
Right, but that's because of the relationship that Robert Kraft had with him. I just think it's weird that you as the head coach, and because this was on the Jim Montgomery thing, might not have had full autonomy to hire your guys.
Yeah, I think that's a recipe for disaster.
And don't you believe you've been whispered something to that effect, that maybe Gerard Mayo didn't have full control over his entire staff?
Yes.
So, that's where I'm on, I think
Alex Van Pelt was a stopgap duct tape, you know, move because of his familiarity with Jacoby Brissett. Like,
right.
I think that's why that happened.
And that's such a microcosm of why they are where they are. It's such short-sighted thinking. Like,
yeah.
Who cares if Brissett sucks the first 4 weeks?
Right.
Get the guy that can most get the most out of your franchise quarterback.
Yeah, 100%. All right, Chime, let's get to this.
It's time for
Larry Bird's not walking through that door, fans.
Would not say that I'm Mona Lisa Vito of the football world.
They
want you to cook the dinner. At least they ought to let you shop for some of the groceries.
Said it.
Wake up to Del Mondino and have me face him. Maybe I'll drill him in the eye.
They said it.
I'm just going to say it.
All right, time for a quick back and forth on what they said over the weekend in sports. Where do you want to start this morning, Sean?
Yeah, Greg, it only makes sense we start with Patriots head coach Gerard Mayo. Yesterday after the game was asked about the penalties and when the players become accountable, and this is what he had to say to the media.
I mean, look, it's all look, once those guys cross the white lines, there's nothing I can do for them. There's nothing any coach can do for them once they cross the white line. It's my job to continue to prepare not only them but our coaches to go out here and play better football.
Curtis, this went right up your craw as well as mine yesterday.
What are you doing?
I mean, it particularly when it comes to penalties, that is – you know, yes, it's the player committing the penalty, but it's, you know, if you're not sitting there pounding it into a guy's head that you can't line up in the neutral zone when you're, you know, within an arm's length of the football.
Was it Hooper who was lined up basically on the Miami Dolphins defensive line?
Correct. Yes.
I've never seen that.
That is.
Maybe he's short-sighted.
That you can do something about that, and that is, you know, if he can't figure it out, as an NFL player, don't have him playing in the football game.
Have you ever, as a tight end, Wiggy, lined up on the defensive side of the ball?
No. I've cheated it. I got close, but I ain't got that close.
But Greg brought up Vedarian Lowe earlier, and it's like, all right, you had three chances to take him out. Over it. You can do something once they cross the white line.
No, I mean, awful. It's there are a lot of things that a head coach can do, and it is.
How about the first being accepting and owning accountability? That's the number one job of any leader. To stand up and say, it starts with me.
That's what Bill used to do.
Right. We have to coach better, play better, all that. Totally.
Yeah. By the way, I just got a text, speaking of defense, I just got a text from Alex Van Pelt. And he said, you know, I can coach defense too. He just wanted to give everybody a heads up that he can do that. All right, what's next, Sean?
Is it just me or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and rewatch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Mike McDaniel spoke after the game as well, and he talked about our guy Drake May, who may not have had the best game yesterday, but McDaniel still seems to want to gush about Drake May a little bit.
When you're able to be a pocket passer, but then extend plays and make teams pay when you're in man coverage or two-man, it's a problem. And he'll continue to make plays as he gets better and better in the pocket. It's a guy that, honestly, I'm not really rooting for his development being in the division, but I can appreciate the player. They have a very good player to work with at that position. So we'll continue to have to be on our stuff.
Speaking of man coverage, you would know better than I, Coach Wiggins.
Yep.
But New England Patriots stayed in man for most of that game yesterday and got destroyed during it.
Yeah, Jaylen Waddle was killing them. I think at that
point. Is that an in-game adjustment?
That's the adjustment you got to make. You got to say, all right, we're going to.
Should they have made that in-game adjustment at some point?
That I probably would. I personally would tend not to run as much man against Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle and play a little bit more zone.
What you do has nothing to do with what happens between the white lines, so why even make an adjustment?
Yeah. Well, I would think the defensive coordinator would say, let's get a little bit of a zone here.
Right?
That's what I would think. Yeah, so dope, but I agree with you. I think there are things, especially on the defensive side of the football, expectation-wise, that I felt Gerard would be good at, that he's struggling with.
that's the side of the football that you would expect he excels at.
Yes. Yes, that's his kind of forte over there. That is where I would say when you look at Gerard, this is his bread and butter, that side.
I mean, they had maybe three pressures on two of that entire football game.
Right.
It was like watching.
But then again, you can't some scheme, is the talent.
You can't
though.
Scheme something up.
No. But some is the talent. When it comes to pressures, if you have to scheme up blitzes and twist and all that, that means you don't feel like you have guys that are good enough that can win one-on-one matchups.
It's also, I mean, two at the end, near the end of that game, they were saying they were going to take him out, and he was not scared of our defense at all, that he looked at the coaches on the sideline and said, no, I'm going back in.
Yeah.
Like, he was.
I mean, he was, that was a really good football team they played. But.
For Tua's longevity, he should only play the Patriots.
I know.
He'll never get hit.
But that's what I was so surprised by. It's like Tua has to worry about a lot of things when it comes to health. They were up by 20, and he's like, no, put me back in.
But that shows you the lack of talent. It's the same way on offense. When people are like, oh, they should design more trick plays in this and come up with all these exotic, things, tomfoolery. That's because you don't have guys that can win one-on-one. So now you have to resort to a throwback to Kendrick Bourne.
Oh, is that awful?
Who then, Schott puts it over across the field to Ramondre Stevenson.
All right, what's next, Sean?
Well, let's go from one really bad football team to another, shall we? The New York Giants got bodied by Baker Mayfield yesterday, and he even taunted Tommy Cutlets with the fingers and
he said that wasn't a taunt, it was a tribute.
Yeah, right. You're right. Sorry, my fault.
He's such a good guy.
Yeah, I do love Baker though. But the Giants star receiver, young rookie star receiver Malik Nabers, was not happy after the game. This was his interaction with the media in the locker room.
What words today would you use to describe this loss?
Selfish.
How disappointed are you?
Very.
What are you most disappointed about?
I mean, it's over, man. I'm totally going out there and losing. Like, it's just sad. I mean, I don't know, bro. Go out there first, second quarter, don't get the ball, start getting targets at the end. I mean, can't do nothing. Start getting the ball when it's 30-0. What you want me to do?
Why in the first half are they not looking at you?
I don't know. Talk to Davis about that.
So we're
was
soft.
He having gum?
He was chewing on candy.
We're soft AF, and if I don't get the ball until we're down 30-0, then we can't win the football game.
That's on coaching.
How do you like that? Do you like that from a rookie?
I don't like it from a rookie, but that's on coaching. Your best player on the football field is Malik Nabers, and you don't start throwing him the football until the second half.
They've done that 3 weeks in a row, too. Like, he doesn't have like any catches in the first half.
That's a coaching thing, Greg. Like, so when you say coaching and how they can affect the game, guess what? Throw Malik Nabers some screen passes. Give him some reverses. Design some stuff to get the ball into his hands. I don't like the way he went about doing it, but guess what? If you're going to talk the talk, be able to walk the walk. And he's kind of done that all year long. But that's the thing, it's on coaches. He's not saying this if you're getting him the ball early.
I have an idea to fix the Patriots next season while keeping Mayo in his job. They're going to fire Daboll. Daboll's your offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
And then if Brian Flores doesn't get one of the open head coaching jobs, you give him the top of the market, assistant head coach, defensive coordinator, sort of like Bill with Parcells in 96 with the Patriots. You bring in Flores, that guy is an accountable human being.
Yeah. I think Gerard Mayo would benefit from a veteran coach, a guy who's done it before, who's around him helping with all, every aspect of what he's doing as a head coach.
Jasper has a great column in the Globe today on how Mayo needs to learn his lesson from the season and surround himself with veterans that can coach offense and defense so that he has a better shot.
Yeah. All right. Is that it, Chime? I think it is.
That'll do it, Greg.
All right. That is They Said It. Quick back and forth on what they said over the weekend in sports. Up next, I have a pair of Bruins tickets to give away and your thoughts on Gerard Mayo as the head coach of this New England Patriots football team now and going forward. We'll get to those coming up next.